Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companion hunted for him. When they found Jesus, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. I have sat at the bedside of a man dying from cancer. I've journeyed with a young woman who wore Vibram shoes, you know, the ones with the individual toes, until her wounded veteran brother could walk again. She wore them for 7 months. That same young man died by suicide at the age of 24. I've seen too many people, young and old, gripped by powers that sought to destroy them, expressed in addictions, risky behaviors, abuse towards others. I've heard the confessions of people about the worst things that they have thought and done. I've seen the struggle that they have to be free. Free from the guilt, free from the pain. I've seen parents who long for restoration of relationship with their children caught in addiction. I've seen children who long to be welcomed by parents who cannot accept them for who they are. And I've heard the agony of those who feel alone in the world. We are a world filled with people in need of healing, physical and mental, needing to be freed from those things that imprison us, our addictions, our fear, our failures, in need of the life-giving energy that only trusted, loving relationships can bring. Now, all of these people that I have talked about are members of the body of Christ. They are our family members, our neighbors, the people who seem to have it all together. And yet we almost never hear about these struggles. Instead, we put up this facade of perfection. This does a disservice to our faith and to those who are most certainly not perfect, giving them a false sense of what it means to be the body of Christ and moving us away from the reality of who the body of Christ is called to be. Now, I shared last week the experience that some of my students in the University of Dubuque Life Program had when they read Mike Iaconelli's book, Messy Spirituality. The members of that group were uniformly amazed, engaged, and inspired by this book, because their vision and experience of church was one of perfection. You had to be sin-free, mess-free, drama-free to be part of the church. The Iaconelli instead showed them a picture of a church that was made up of the sinners, the messy, the broken, the guilty, the possessed. One that was more hospital for the sick than it was a club for those who have it all together. Iaconelli says that messy spirituality unveils the myth of flawlessness and calls Christians everywhere to come out of hiding and stop pretending to be perfect. It is the Christianity that most of us live and few of us admit. Messy spirituality, Iaconelli says, is, quote, the delirious consequence of a life ruined by a Jesus who loves us right into his arms. Now, my students responded to this description of the faith with a hunger and enthusiasm that showed that they had been waiting desperately to hear this truth. This was good news to them. And the folks in the other small group who had read another book almost uniformly went out and bought Messy Spirituality to read, just on the testimony of their classmates. And I had two thoughts about this. The first is, how many more out there are yearning for this kind of word, this kind of recognition of the messiness of life, and to be accepted and loved despite that messiness? And the second was, that kind of response is a pastor's dream. It was the moment of seeing the gospel in action and transforming lives. Theologian Werner Kelber writes that Jesus in the Gospel of Mark has a clear mission. Quote, he came to announce the kingdom of God and to initiate its arrival in opposition to the forces which threaten to destroy human life. Jesus came to say that the kingdom of God was a place where people are healed, made whole, restored to the fullness of who God created them to be. It was a place where even those who are possessed by all the forces that defy God and seek to destroy human life could be freed from those things. So that they might be restored into community and experience again the life-giving energy that those loving, trusted relationships bring. So that they might experience again the life-giving reality that God loves them just as they are and loves them enough not to leave them there. So that they might be healed. Why is it so hard for us to be open about the messiness of our own lives, about our own need for healing? To be vulnerable about our own struggles with sin, with those habits and addictions we cannot break even though we so desperately want to. What would it be like if we trusted one another enough to share our own messy lives, to live our messy faith in front of one another and the world and proclaim the good news to others that there is always room for one more messy individual? What would it be like if we trusted Jesus to heal us? Just as he healed Simon's mother-in-law, just as he healed those who were brought to him that evening. What if we trusted Jesus to cast out all that possesses us, our addictions, our fears, our sorrow? What would that mean in our lives? Now, as Christians who happen to be Lutheran, this kind of thinking should be right in our wheelhouse. We understand the truth about being both saint and sinner at the same time, don't we? That God has claimed us in the waters of baptism as God's children, and that we still rupture that relationship with our sinful behavior. We know that our lives are messy, And that our only hope of salvation in this world or the next lies in God's boundless love and in the healing of Jesus, in the freedom that is promised. Our only hope is the Jesus who will love us right into his arms. We live in a world right now that is, like my students, eager to see a church that proclaims and that lives out that love, desperate to hear a word spoken to them that proclaims that truth. There are over 25 million active cases of COVID in the world. There are increased rates of emergency department visits in the U.S. for suicide, overdose, and mental health during the pandemic. There are hundreds of thousands of people living with cancer and other deadly diseases. And we know in whom healing lies. Now, I won't pretend that healing will mean a cure for those who have cancer, but I won't rule it out. I won't pretend that any of this will happen at once, but I've heard the story of too many people who can point to a moment in time when they were healed, when their lives were changed, when the wounds in their lives that had been driving their addictions and their destructive behavior have been healed by the powerful presence of Christ's Spirit. The power to heal lies in our God working through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is why we gather tight around the door of the house each week, pressing in like the crowds to be healed of all that diseases us, to have the voices of our demons silenced, to be washed again by the waters of baptism and feel the peace of Christ flow over us. To feel it seep into those broken places and begin to make them whole again. The temptation is to kind of keep this for ourselves. That's the implication of the disciples when they hunt down Jesus praying in the deserted place. Hey, people are looking for the healer of the town of Capernaum. Come on back. But Jesus resists that. For his calling is to go into the other towns and villages, into the world, proclaiming the good news to heal and cast out demons there also. It is a message not for one particular group, but for all. And this is the pattern that we live, isn't it? Coming each week to the house and receiving the good news and a powerful word of healing, then going out to proclaim that message to a hungering world desperate to hear it. And so, my friends, in 2021, let us do that. Let's be honest with each other about the messy lives that we live. Let us come openly to be healed by Jesus, and let us then go and proclaim that good news to others. Let us pray. God of compassion, your Son Jesus Christ, the great physician, made the broken whole. Healed the sick, cast out the demons that bound them. Touch our wounds. Relieve our hurts. Heal our disease. Break the hold of our addiction. Through that same Jesus Christ, our powerful Savior and Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to stand and join me in singing the truth of who the healer of our every ill is.